Well, like we told you last week, Bill has finally moved to Pender County. He's gotten right with God. And we're glad to have you up there, Bill. You come up and speak to us.
Check that thermostat on that side before we get wrong with the people here. Sure. And if you will, turn that light out in the back right here. All right, now we're glad you're here. Now, if you are, you can't see the screen up here, then you're on the wrong side of the pews, aren't you? If you can see the screen, you'll be all right. We'll have a good time here. We're going to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God. We're going to find out what that house stands for, by the way. And it's a good thing, Willis, that I know what I'm preaching on, because you took my outline away from me. Bring it back up here. Give me my outline back. I just want to share with the adult, most of all, what you've got in your hand here, so you'll know what we're looking at. We'll not actually get into some of these things. Now, these boys and girls will look here and say, what in the world is this? Boundaries. Wow!
What?
You don't know what that is, do you? Well, we're not going to worry about it, but I'm going to explain to you, and we're going to look at some things concerning you in your home, how your mom and dad are going to be working with you and how you're going to listen to them and how they're going to build some values in your life. You don't know what that means, but I'll tell you in a little bit. They're going to build some nice attitudes in your life and some beliefs in your life. You don't know what that means, but I'm going to tell you in a minute. So you just listen carefully because it's so important. See? This is for mom and dad and boys and girls and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and cousins and everybody else. See? That's what we're going to look at. Okay. But before we do that, though, we're going to have a Bible drill. And, Miss Tammy, what I'm going to ask you to do is go back and get some of those fireballs. You know where you can find them back here somewhere? It's a big box, about so big. All right? And let's bow our heads, though. Let's close our eyes and have a word of prayer. Okay? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for He who is the Savior of the world, who came to save moms and dads, boys and girls. He came to be our Savior. He loved us so much, and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us on the cross of Calvary. We're glad, our Father, we could be here this morning and study the Word of God, find out what it says about how we are to live, and what happens when we do not do what God says in His Word. So, Father, help us to understand, especially the fellows and girls, as we talk to them in particular, and all of us, moms and dads, all of us adults in general, so we'll understand what the Bible teaches about standards, about beliefs, values in the Christian home. So, Father, we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like I said, we're going to have a little Bible drill here because that's what you do in Bible school sometimes. That's what we do in Sunday school sometimes. I have some verses I'm looking to find. Now, I have to remind you that when I say a Bible drill, I really mean for the boys and girls under the age of 15. The boys and girls are older than that. Wait. I know you know how to find them. He's younger. And I know you'd like to have a fireball. Okay? Are you ready? All right, get those Bibles in the air. Right up where I can see them. All right, now if you're, some of you sitting way back there in the back, well, we'll be sure you get a fireball, but if you want to sit closer, you can see better. You can do that as well. It won't bother me to get up and move around, okay? Not out the door. All right, Bible in the air. Chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18 of 2 Peter, sorry. 2 Peter 3, 18. 2 Peter 3:18. But right here, okay. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, Christians are supposed to grow. Not supposed to stay babies all your life. Grow up. Learn what the Bible says. See, it's the Bible. Don't forget that. Okay. All right. Bible's in here. Let's find. Here are two verses. Two verses, and they have something to do with our lesson today. Chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. Chapter 13, verse 9 and 10
neighbor as yourself.
Oh, that's important, isn't it? Okay? All right, those are values. Those are beliefs that we need to have. Okay, Bible's in the air. Let's find this one. Chapter 4, verse 25. Chapter 4, verse 25 of Ephesians, starting. Ephesians 4, 25. Listen to this. Ephesians 4, 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Okay, read for me, Dan. Right, putting away lying. Don't lie anymore. All right. Okay, pretty good. Here we are. Lay up the fireball. I don't like it myself. Do it all the way. I want to. And Jack. And Lady Brock. And Daniel. All right, there you go. Okay, one, two, three. Right. Not supposed to lie. Now, well, how do we know that? Well, I'll tell you what. You go to school, they don't tell you not to lie because they can't because it's a religious thing. See? All right. So we're going to find out, though, what the Bible teaches about these things. All right. Chapter 119, verse 11. Chapter 119, verse 11 of Psalms, Charlie. Psalm 119, 11. Psalm 119, 11.
Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin.
Right, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's so important to understand that the word of God is to be memorized. That's why you go to a water club. That's why you go to Sunday school. That's why you study and read your Bible at home. And your mom and dad will help you. We'll say, okay, Bible's near, chapter 4. Verse 28, chapter 4, verse 28 of Ephesians, Charles. Ephesians 4, 28. Ephesians 4, 28. Ephesians 4, 28. Ephesians 4, 28. All right. All right, I got two over here. I got one here. All right, go ahead, everybody. So, no more. Rather, let him work, right? Labor with his hands. Okay, here you go. That's all I need. Who else? Who's the other boy? Sorry, going to there, you go. All right, back there. You get it, Rachel? All right, stand up and read it. Real loud.
Ephesians 4:29.
All right.
know, terrible things that you hear at school and on the market in the street. No, that's not for Christians. All right, I got one more, and I'm going to ask that any of you that have already tried, you can try again. Okay, again, this is, because this is so important. There, if you haven't got it, you've never got it filed. Well, all right, it's okay. Let's see. Let's see if the adults can beat the fellows and girls. Okay, you ready? Bible's in here, chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. Chapter 19, verse 7 and 8 of Psalms. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. Read it for me.
God's laws are perfect. They protect
us
and make us wise.
They
give us joy and life.
Read it one more time. Listen to it. Verse 7 and verse 8.
God's laws are perfect. They protect us and make us wise. They give us joy and life.
Do you hear that? God's laws are perfect. They protect us. They convert the soul. They give us joy and life. Oh, well, I... Well, since I had this, I'll take you back home. Let's not do that. Okay. All right, so take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20, okay? Exodus chapter 20. This is kind of where our text is that we're going to be using. God is speaking concerning values, concerning standards, concerning how to live. And you know what they are? Well, you can probably guess. By the way, these boundaries, boys and girls, you probably don't know what that means, but they're little safety zones for you. You know what I mean? You know how your mom and dad, they tell you, now you can play in the front yard, you can play in the backyard, but don't go across the street, don't go out of the yard. How come? Because you usually get in trouble when you go outside those boundaries. That's what a boundary is. Stay out of the street, because you know what happens if you go in the street? Car hits you and kills you. And so if you try to go in the street and your mommy brings you in and paddles you, you go, oh, you make me sad because you paddle. Why did she paddle you? To keep you from getting hurt. That may not make much sense to you when you're hurt, but I'll tell you, it does. It'll hurt. Hurt is mad. So you see, you got boundaries. And we've been talking about that with the moms and dads. Boundaries that define who we are in relation to others. And I'm just kind of throwing this together for the adults as well. By the way, we're going to be looking at building of boundaries today in a different way. The next time we're together, next week, we'll talk about the 10 laws of boundaries as we talk to the adults. But today we're going to deal with the 10 commandments, how they build a belief system into our lives, how they build a system of priorities into our lives, they build a system of control into our lives, how they build a system of commitment and self-esteem into our lives. That's so your moms and dads and aunts and uncles can know that, you know, you have something to chew on. And, you know, I haven't left you out today, that we're still going to work on you too. At the same time, we work with the boys and girls. And, of course, the definition of boundaries, you remember, they're beliefs. You got to have certain beliefs to be safe in this world so people don't come in on you and tell you what they believe and take over on your life and take advantage of you. You need to have values. You got to have priority. What's your priority? Basketball, football, golf, hunting, or is it the things of the Lord? What's the priority? What's the most important thing in your life? And then there are opinions. Well, you got to have the right opinions. Where are you going to learn them? From the Word of God and responsibilities. You can't go around in life being irresponsible and having everybody else take care of you. You've got to let God give you the opinions, the responsibilities, and learn what it is to do what God says. So, we go all the way back to the Old Testament, almost 5,000 years ago, and what do we see but God bringing the people of Israel together at Mount Sinai? He says, I've got something to tell you. I want to teach you something. I want you to listen. And so he takes Moses up onto that mountain, up on Mount Sinai. And there on Mount Sinai, he wants to tell them something. He's going to give them the law. Moses is called the lawgiver, one of the greatest men in all the world, in all of history. And God uses him to give us what we call the Ten Commandments. Now, these Ten Commandments are very important. They don't teach them in school anymore, so moms and dads, you need to teach them, or you need to bring them where they can be taught, and that's in church, Sunday school, Bible school, to a water club. Let them learn the Word of God. Now, these do not save you. You can't keep the commandments and be saved. I've heard some say, well, the Ten Commandments are not for us today. Well, literally, they were for the nation of Israel. The law was written to those who are under the law. That's right, the nation of Israel, not the church. But, in a very practical way, in application, they are for us today just as much as they were for the nation of Israel. We just don't, they're a standard. And the real purpose of the law, if I can say this right quick, is to bring us to Christ, to show us how sinful we are. When it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Who's your God? Or what is your God? Your car? Your wife? Your children? Your sports? You know? I mean, it just right away condemns me and condemns you when it comes to whether we really set no other gods before us. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Oh, how many of us, whether it's using curse words or just saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that, and we never do it. You know, commitment, but yet we really don't commit to the things of God. And it's so important that we see that. We want to look at some of these things today. And remember, it is the Word of God that we hide in our heart that keeps us from sinning. Thy word have I hidden my heart. This is one good reason for memorization of the Word of God. If you don't have a regular program of memorizing the Word of God, you should have one. You should be able, and the reason for it, when you go through the EE program with us, Charlie and us, and you see how important it is to know the Word of God so you can witness to your friends. It is essential. It is absolutely essential to be able to talk to people without having to, well, I'll come back next week and tell you, I'll find out, see? And when you learn the things of God, where do you go? Do you go to the movies? Or do you go to television? Or do you go to the Master? The Lord Jesus. He's the one who will teach us the truth about the things of God. The ABC of the Christian primary is the Word of God. And these things, we'll not go over these this morning, just to jolt your memory, to quit allowing the world to teach you, to teach your children what the truth is when it comes to the Word of God. We want to go back and study somewhat of the Ten Commandments. Now, the time this morning is not going to permit to do an in-depth, exhaustive study of what we'd like to do, but let's just take a look at these commandments again. And if you don't know these, you should memorize them. Here's how you can memorize. Let's say them all together, the fellows and girls in particular, adults if you'd like to. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We'll explain about that in a moment. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. These are very important principles, very important aspects of the Word of God, and they are reiterated over and over and over again in the New Testament. Did you notice how Paul says, you that stole, steal no more. Rather let a man labor with his hands so he has something to give to God. Oh, it's so important. And the first commandment, as we think about it, you shall have no other gods before me. This first commandment, not making a carved image or anything like that. Well, what should we do? What does the Scripture teach us in the New Testament in contrast to a commandment like that? Well, in the book of Hebrews, we're to look unto Jesus. He's God. God the Son, the eternal Son from heaven. He's the author and finisher of faith. And the second commandment in 1 John, he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. It's so important to see that. And I'll tell you something, fellows and girls. I'll tell you something, moms and dads. If this is what you do in your lifetime and you do other things and God is not important to you and you never come to Him, you never trust Him as Savior, one day at the great white throne, you will have to give an account for why you did not listen to the things of God. The Ten Commandments will be used as a standard to judge you and your works and will determine the place in the lake of fire where you will be forever and ever. Now, when it comes to having other gods before me, let me tell you a little story. Remember little Samuel? The story of Samuel. When Samuel was just a little boy, he was dedicated to God. He was given over to the high priest, Eli. And Eli, of course, it was his responsibility to train this little one to be a prophet. Well, now, there was a problem. In the days of the judge Eli, I'll have to tell you, this is very sad. You may want to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 2 for this. 1 Samuel chapter 2. But Eli was a very godly man himself, as far as he was concerned. But something happened in the life of Eli, and God was not sending him revelation. He was not receiving revelation from God. There was no open vision in those days. In fact, in chapter 3, verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. But now Samuel, as a young child, as he was being taught by this man, Eli, he began to hear a voice at night. Samuel! Samuel! And he thought Eli was calling him. He got up and he walked over to Eli. Or he was sleeping in the tent of the tabernacle. And Eli said, "I didn't call you, Samuel." So Samuel would go back to sleep and he'd call again, "Samuel! Samuel!" He said, "Here am I. What is it, Eli?" And Eli realized God was talking to this young man. He says, "Now you go back and you tell the voice that has called you. You say that you are here, and you tell whoever is calling you, for thou hast called me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore he said to him, "Go lie down. It shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called again, as at other times, and Samuel listened this time. And this time God, spoke to Samuel and gave Samuel a message from God. Now, time would permit to go through the whole message. But after he had told him all that he needed to tell him, then the next morning, in verse 16, Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son, tell me what the Lord has said. Don't hold anything back. Tell me the truth. I need to know everything." And so Samuel told him everything that the Lord had told him. And here's one thing he told him. Now this is what's sad. And I hope you listen well. "For I have told him," this is God speaking to Samuel to tell Eli, "for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." You see, his sons, Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And these sons are very wicked. And yet they were in the service of the Lord. But what they did was to actually go and take meat that it wasn't theirs to take from the offerings that were offering up to the Lord and be given to the poor people. They would take them. They would take the best. The priests were supposed to be fed, of course, from the meat that was given in the offerings. But they were doing something that was even more terrible than that. In fact, here it says here, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men hated the offering of the Lord." You see, it was as if these were unsaved, atheistic type men who were offering up, trying to do the Lord's work. They didn't. They're idolatrous. Now, what did God do to these men? Well, there was a war. The Philistines came in. And the two sons of Eli died. And when Eli found out about it, it wasn't so much his sons he was worried about. He was 98 years of age. But when he found out that the ark had been captured, the ark which represented the very presence of God had been captured, he fell over and died, broke his neck.
What a sad end to a godly man that started out, but he didn't take care of his children. He didn't teach his children values. He didn't teach his children boundaries. He didn't give them safety zones to work in growing up as a small child, you see. He didn't teach them that they were not to... They were to love the Lord God with all their heart and mind, but they didn't do it. They didn't pay attention, did they? The second commandment, third commandment, rather, not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Fellows and girls, this is one of the things that I see and hear a lot today. We have boys and girls who don't seem to realize how ugly it is to use curse words, to use words that refer to a person's anatomy, body, things that are wrong. And when you go to school, I don't care if your friends say that, you don't have to say those things. The scripture says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Learn well not to use the language of the world. It's evil. It's terrible. Another thing, too, let me explain this. This is the one commandment, the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that is not repeated in the New Testament. So you might say that in the New Testament we really only have nine commandments to think about, but they're all wrapped up in loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and also loving your neighbors yourself. But let me remind you of something, that for the Christian, for the believer, every day is a Sabbath day. What does that mean? A holy day. Every day ought to be like Sunday. In other words, when you go to school, you ought to act like you're going to Sunday school. Right. Absolutely. Every day is the same. Christians ought to be the same every day they are on Sunday. You hear about adults who are a lot nice, pious people on Sunday morning, and they look nice and they act nice, but when they go home on Monday or go to work, you can't tell they're the same people. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. That's not what the Bible teaches about Christian living. The normal Christian life goes on and on and on the same every day of the week. And then, let me remind you of this too, fellows and girls, lest you say, well, I don't have to go to Sunday school to church then. Well, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but there are consequences to whatever you do or whatever you don't do. You know that? And there are blessings too. The scripture tells us, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. We are to encourage one another. The psalmist said, I have loved the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. Now, in the Old Testament, the glory dwelt in the tabernacle. It dwelt in the temple. Where does the glory of God dwell today? Who can tell me? Where does the glory of God dwell today in the church? What do you think, Michael? Does the glory of God dwell in this building? No. Does the glory of God dwell in the building across the street? No. Where does the glory of God dwell as far as the Christian is concerned? What's the Christian called? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So where does the glory of God dwell then? In the Christian. Right. In the believer. Absolutely. All right. Now what about another commandment? How about this one? We don't want to talk about this though, do we? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the earth. Right. Boy, that was one I learned early. If I wanted to live long, I did what mom and dad said. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to live a long life. So I did what they said until I got out from under their control. And by that time, I was, well, I don't know if I was or not, well-mannered. Anyway, we're told in the scripture to obey your parents. Now, what did Eli's two sons do? Did they obey their parents? No. You see what happened to them? They didn't live a very long life, did they? They died because they didn't listen. Eli must have had some problems, I'm sure, and God judged him. Never was there another member of his family ever in the priesthood because of his sin. And you know, when you go around doing these things, do you honor your father and mother? Or do you tell them to shut up behind their back or something like that, or you talk about them? Let me tell you something.
remember that. Don't ever let it be said of you, and ever in your lifetime, I don't care how old you get, that you ever have disrespect for your mother and your father. You may not respect the person because of what they are, if they are terrible or something, but you respect them because they are your parents. That's so important. And here's one that is very applicable for us, even though the boys and girls may understand as far as committing adultery. They said, I would never do that. I would never do those things. But I want to warn you ahead of time. And what committing adultery is when a man who already has a wife decides he's going to leave that wife and go and have an affair with another man's wife or something like that outside of marriage. That's what adultery is, see? And without going any further than that, that's wrong and that's sinful. It's time for you boys and girls to learn now that it's wrong and sinful, and you don't do it if you're going to please God. And the eighth commandment about not stealing. Let him who stole steal no longer. Rather let him labor with his hands. Now let me give you an illustration of a man who learned early what it was to not commit adultery, to obey God. He had a standard. He had values, see. His parents built standards and values in his life, and he had made the right choices. He believed it was wrong to have anything to do with a woman who was another man's wife. It was Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph, how he was sold into slavery by his own brothers? And then he went to work for a man named Potiphar, and Potiphar had a beautiful wife. And this wife, this beautiful wife of Potiphar's, she saw Joseph as a handsome young man, and of course, she was an Egyptian. She was a worldly Egyptian. It didn't matter to her whether you committed adultery or not. She didn't have any standards. No values. Didn't care. And so she went after him. I want you to be my lover. And of course, Joseph didn't want to do that. He wanted to do what his master told him. He knew it was sin for him to have anything to do with somebody else's wife, except his own. But he didn't have one then. He got one later on. But you know what happened? This woman was so bad. And fellas, you've got to watch them when you get older. And we're in rough sometimes. And girls, you've got to watch the fellas too. It's just as bad. But anyway, he took off. He ran. And she grabbed his coat and held onto it. He lost the coat and ran. And then she accused him of attacking her. And you know what happened to him? He was put in jail. Yeah. He was put in prison, falsely accused. Well, here's what happens when you do what God says. Even though he was put in jail, God stood by him and said, I'm going to be with you, Joseph. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make a great person out of you. And do you know what? He was able to interpret dreams. God gave him the ability to interpret dreams. That didn't happen today. That was back in the days of the Old Testament. And one day, when he was brought before the king, because he could interpret dreams, because he became the savior of Egypt, God exalted him and made him the second highest ruler in all of Egypt. And he was able to save his own family from hunger and from death through starvation. See, when you do what God says, God will bless you and use you to make a great person out of you. You see. So committing adultery is not for Christians. Okay? How about stealing? You like to steal? Do those things? Take something that belongs to you? I know there are girls and boys who make a game out of seeing if they can shoplift without getting caught. The only problem is when they get caught, then they're really in trouble. You're taking a real chance, aren't you? Well, it's sin to even think about it, let alone do it. Stealing something that's not yours is wrong. Thou shalt not steal, the Scripture says. The Bible tells us about a man who was a thief. Two people I want to share with you in a minute. This man's name was Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave already. He was already a slave. Then he stole something that didn't belong to his master, and he thought he could get away with it. He ran away, and pretty soon, though, it caught up with him. He found himself in jail. And they didn't find out what he did, but if he ever found out what he did when he stole from his owner, Philemon, he would have really been in trouble. So you know what happened? He got put in prison, and there was a man named Paul the Apostle. And Paul was very happy, and he couldn't understand why he was so happy, so he asked him one day, he said, because I've got a Savior who has forgiven me of all my sins. And I'm sure Onesimus wondered how he had his sins forgiven, and so he got to talking, and sure enough, he found out he'd been a thief. And so he was received back by Philemon when he trusted the Lord. He was taken back. He did what God said. And he became, instead of a thief, he became a saint. He became somebody who was very kind and helpful. Well, you know what? We're told something else, fellas and girls, in the 9th and 10th commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Just plainly, you're not supposed to go around telling lies. White lies, black lies, red lies, doesn't matter. Lies. Lies are wrong. Sin. We're to put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. And we're not to covet. But, you know, what happens when you tell a lie? You think it's all right to tell lies? Let me tell you about a man and his wife who decided to tell a lie. This is in the New Testament. Here's a husband and wife. They have seen the Lord bless somebody because they gave some money to the church. So they said, well, why don't we do the same thing? The Lord will bless us too, and people will look up to us. And so we will sell a part of our land and give it to the Lord. Only they didn't count on that piece of land they sold being worth more than they thought it was. And so they got more money than they thought they were going to get. And all of a sudden, they did three things. They lied. They stole. They coveted. Watch this. Ananias says to Sapphira, or Sapphira says to Ananias, why should we give all this money when they don't know really how much it is? Let's just keep back part of it and give the apostles a pretty good bit, and we'll be on Easy Street from now on. I don't mean Easy Street up there near Newton Grove either. I'm talking about easy, you know, they were going to really had it nice, see? And you know what? The Holy Spirit knows what's going on in the hearts of boys and girls like you, and men and women like you and me. And he knows what to do about people who tell lies. So sure enough, here comes Ananias with his money. And Peter is there. And when Peter sees this money, he's not happy at all. Because you see, already the Holy Spirit has told him what's going on. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? He lied. You see, he lied to God about what he made a choice. He made a promise what he was going to do, and he told a lie. Then he coveted. See, thou shalt not covet. He wanted something that didn't belong to him anymore. He'd given it to God. Then he stole it, see? He stole from God. And Peter, standing there knowing it, he says, because of this, you're going to die. And he did. They carried him out, and they buried him. That's the first time in the early church that a Christian died for telling a lie. It's a good thing God doesn't judge the church today like that, or it would be any of us here this morning. We'd all be in heaven, wouldn't we? And his wife came in, and she did the same thing, and they took her out and buried her too. So you see, lying has consequences. That's why you have standards. That's why you have boundaries. That's why you don't go out of your yard. You see, you don't go out into somebody else's territory and tell lies. See, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. I wish I had that bicycle. I wish I had that. There's another story. There's another man in Scripture. And all these stories, of course, have lessons in themselves, a lot more than we wanted to give this morning. But I wanted to show the consequences and the blessings of having standards, values in your life. The Ten Commandments is a very good bottom line when it comes to values and standards. You've got to understand, though, that not everything is applicable. Well, let's understand that in the New Testament we have guidelines, don't we? We have principles. But the Old Testament, here's a man. He had a great uncle. His uncle was one of the greatest men. He was a forerunner of a great race of people called the Hebrews. His name was Abraham. This man's name was Lot. There came a day when they couldn't get along. So Abraham said, Lot, pick out wherever you want to live. And Lot looked down on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were very evil cities. well-watered plain. I mean, palm trees and pomegranate trees and all sorts of things, and orange trees and date nut trees. You know, all the beautiful things you could just, oh, I just love to live there. He coveted something that would look very nice, but was very evil. And you know what he got for his coveting? He lost his wife. She turned into a pillar of salt. I saw a woman turn into a telephone pole one day. That wasn't very funny either. That's right. You ever see that? Yeah. Yeah. Front end of her car was messed up. Anyway, he lost his two daughters. His daughters married unsaved men who were in the gay community, didn't want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. They loved it, and God destroyed those cities. And Lot had children by his own daughters. Sinfulness. See, the sin of coveting something that's not yours just leads to sin, sin, sin. So you see, these commandments are important, aren't they? These 10 commandments. I hope you boys and girls will learn them, study them, memorize them. I'm going to tell you something. This looks like that woman. You disregard the rules, you suffer the consequences. See? You go out here to Market Street, if you don't stop at that stop sign, I guarantee you're going to have a problem. Because that traffic keeps moving. I don't know how in the world you ever make it sometimes. But the Word of God tells us that the sinfulness of man is so terrible that it has stirred up the wrath of God. And God says, I'm going to judge man because of their sin. The wrath of God is revealed against all sin, and the Bible teaches us that what God is going to do is punish sin. You and I are sinners, born in sin, helpless, hopeless, without sin. He's going to bring and do a sin, unless you have believed on the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus came to set us free from sin. Now, I want to remind you something, too, lest you think we were using the law. The Word of God does not teach us that the law saves us. In fact, by the law, by the deed of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We know we're sinners, because all we've got to do is look at the Ten Commandments when it says, well, you're supposed to honor your mom and dad right away. So, well, I don't do that. So therefore, you're a sinner, see? The Scripture tells us that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It teaches us our sinfulness so that we will realize how sinful we are, and what we will do is to realize it. I'm guilty. I'm cursed. I'm under the curse, because the Bible says cursed is everyone who continues not in the things in the book of the law to do them. You can't do it. Don't even try it. God says that He is holy, He is righteous, and we are unrighteous. We're like an unrighteous rag, filthy rag. That's what God says. And the reason for it, fellows and girls, as you well know, is because of Adam and Eve. Adam made the wrong choice with his wife. They stepped outside the boundaries of safety. They ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of it. God said, don't do it. They did it. They trespassed against God by walking across their boundaries into His boundaries, did what they were told not to do. They sinned, and that sin has been passed on to all of us. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, so that settles that. We're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you stay in your sin and wind up at the great white throne judgment, you'll be sentenced for every sin that you have committed. You will die in your sin. You will be cast into the lake of fire. God is going to open the book of life. He'll make sure that nobody is left out or in, and if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, just plainly, you've had it. You're in trouble. But wouldn't it be wonderful if you knew the Lord Jesus? And one day He could say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, that's what the blood of Christ is for, fellows and girls. That's why Jesus died, to do away your sins so you could have everlasting life. And this morning, if you're not a believer, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then it's just as simple as this. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the eternal life that's ours through that precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We pray for these fellows and girls and moms and dads, all of us fathers, as we think about the sinfulness of man illustrated to us by the Ten Commandments and our inability to keep them. And yet these are standards, Father, that help us to stay away from sin, hopefully. Help us to learn them, Father, and learn them well and teach them to our children and our grandchildren. We thank you for what you're going to do. Help us, our Father, and save souls that need to be saved this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. Meeting's dismissed. See you at dinner on the ground.